We are listener-supported. One Radio Network.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone. It's a beautiful morning here in Dripping Springs, Texas, where our palatial studio is not really out here in the country, about an hour outside of Austin, Texas. June 16th, 2020. What, I guess a few days. It'll be the longest day of the year, the summer solstice. We'll go out and dance around the woods. So we're going to have a good time this morning. You'll meet Dr. Christine Northrup, a wonderful researcher and speaker and just an enthusiast for women's health. She has been for such a long time. And just a little plug, tomorrow, Brandon Smith, who does some great work with altmarkets.com. And if you think there's something going on in the markets and in the world of finance that we should talk about, well, of course, we do a lot of that here just to try to keep you updated. So he'll be on tomorrow at 11 o'clock. And then there's a gentleman that's going to be on at 9 o'clock, and he's got a whole theory and reasonings behind that over the last, 50 years, 60 years or so, there have been 5 presidents that there are forces that have wanted to get out of office. And it's really a fascinating workup that he did, the research. So we're going to talk to him at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So it'll be a fun morning, a little financial kind of geopolitical geek stuff. Our phone lines are not happening this morning. We had some kind of thing go on with the 800 number, but you can certainly come in and email for the show if you'd like to be on with Dr. Christine Northrup this morning. Dr. Northrup, as I said, has been a pioneer in the field of women's health and wellness, which includes her awareness and her conversations about mind, body, emotion, soul, and internationally known. Her books have been translated into 30 languages. Many years on the New York Times bestseller list. She came out years ago about her book that is now in a new revised edition long ago, The Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom. That started, I guess, in 1994, and now the 2020 edition of that baby. And she wrote about all kinds of things. We'll have plenty to talk about. Dr. Northrup, good morning.
Good morning. By the way, my name is Christian.
Christian.
It's not Christine. It's Christian. Yeah, like the religion.
Oh, it's Christian. Really? So I've been calling you Christine all these years and been incorrect?
I know, yeah. I listened to Dr. Rashid Buttar, who I always called Rashid, and he's, of course, one of my big heroes of informed consent and health freedom and holistic medicine. And he corrected the guy, and I thought, oh, I should probably do that.
I should probably do that. Yeah, it's Christian here. It's really interesting. Yeah. I didn't realize, your name is actually spelled like that, really, isn't it?
That's right.
Was your mom Christian?
No. My dad was in World War II, and he met a family in Paris, and they had a young daughter, and in French, the name would be Christiane. And she was 14, and he said, okay, if I make it through, and if I ever have a daughter, I'm going to name her after this Christiane that I've met here.
That's
how I came by the name.
It's such a pretty name. It's Christiane. It's so elegant, you know, Christiane.
Thank you. Yes. I am such an elegant being.
I can tell. No, I know you are. So what was it for you that all of a sudden say, man, I'm just going to go to medical school, Dartmouth, by the way, and become an OBGYN and talk to help women out? What was that motivation?
That was never a direct path of knowing. That was one of these things where you stumble into it. So I had graduated from college and took a year off. I had some scholarships for graduate school, and I thought I was going to be a biology teacher, but I was really burned out after college. And by the way, I was in college during the Kent State shootings.
Oh.
And so today's situation is a ramped up version of exactly what was going on then. And so I applied for a bunch of places to become a master's degree biology teacher. And I called my advisor from college, and he goes, Chris, you going to teach biology is like a thoroughbred running a junk horse race. Why don't you go to medical school? And by then, I'd interviewed enough places, and I realized that they wanted me to say that I wanted to do biologic research, which was not true. I had an aunt and uncle, both medical doctors. I didn't like their lifestyles at all. But the guy goes, you know, well, just get an MD degree. And then I talked to my dad, and he goes, listen, at the end of 4 years, you got to be something. You might as well have an MD after your name.
You got to be something.
I thought that was really good advice. And so, and by the way, I had been working as a clerk typist in my boyfriend's father's office furniture plant, and I realized I could be running the entire division within a year, and I thought that this isn't going to work. And so then I applied to medical school, and it was at a time when we did not have laws that, you know, made sure that you had to have women and minorities and all the rest. But the zeitgeist of the time was, okay, this is when a lot of women went into law school, medical school, so on. Then I cried when I saw a baby born. Nothing had ever moved me to that extent. It was like pain-filled joy, joy-filled pain. And then I interviewed 12 places in family medicine. I have a family medicine doc friend, and she goes, yeah, when anyone goes into family medicine, you've got to, you always wonder what's the pathology in their family of origin, which is true. And then I finally decided on OBGYN. I had met my then husband. He was my surgical intern, and we both moved to Boston so I could do a OBGYN residency. He did an orthopedic surgery residency. And then I began to do some work with Michio Kushi, who is the founder of Macrobiotics in the United States. And I sat in with him on some of his consultations. Now, remember, and no one knows this, my mother and father were into organic food. We had a compost pile. My mother spiked our orange juice with vitamin C. My parents did yoga. They were joggers way, way, way back. So I was already radicalized before I got to medical school in terms of health. But my aunt and uncle, the doctors, not so much. So that's how I led to the whole thing. I went in already with a focus on healthy eating. Also, I had two family members who had gotten very sick and signed out of the hospital against medical advice. So I was really good at that radical thing, you know, because I have a brother who would have died had my parents not signed him out against medical advice when he was a baby. He wouldn't eat. He's now, you know, in his 50s. He's healthy. No thanks to the medical profession. And then when I was interviewing in medical school, my dad was admitted to the cardiac intensive care unit at Buffalo General with chest pain. And he called my mother, and 2 days later, and he said, Edna, come and get me. They don't know what's going on. The IV had infiltrated. He had a fever from that. He said, I know I didn't have a heart attack. So she signed him out. The nurses were furious. And when I got back from interviewing, he's sitting up in his chair where he reads, with fluid two-thirds of the way up in his lung fields. He had infectious pericarditis, and it had been misdiagnosed, and he healed at home. And so, you know, when you have those experiences in the seminal time of your life, I remember ironing, saying to my mother, oh, I'll go to medical school. I'm going to find out why doctors don't talk to you, why they don't tell you what's really going on. And what I learned was, half the time they don't know what's going on, but you have to pretend that you do.
We've heard that a lot. Dr. Christian and Northrup, if you'd like to join the show, patrick@oneradionetwork.com is the email address. So we ran a video on our front page. So do you believe that the body knows the who, the when, and the where, and the why to heal?
The body does. However, the intellect doesn't. And
the ego of who we are, right?
Yeah, the ego doesn't. Mm-hmm. And we have been talked out of a lot of the things that would naturally heal us. So let me give you an example of that. When I went into labor with my first baby, all I wanted to do was stay on my hands and knees. And the last thing I wanted to do was get in the car and go to the hospital. Now, I know that had I stayed on my hands and knees in my bedroom, the labor would have progressed very, very nicely. Instead, you get in the car, you go to the hospital, you have to stop at admitting. They ask you to fill out all these forms, at least they did then. Now, remember, this is a hospital where I trained, so I knew everyone. So I just said, no, and I just went and took the back elevator, went right up to labor and delivery. And all of the rigmarole of going in there stopped the labor, and then I had dysfunctional labor, needed Pitocin, the baby just shot across the room. All of that was what we would call iatrogenic. I mean, we would not do that to a dog. If a dog's in labor, you don't turn on a bright light, hook them up to a fetal monitor, and have all these people coming in to check them, or a horse, or a cow. So we interrupt a lot of natural processes, and yes, things can go wrong. But the problem is with the law of attraction, if you're expecting things to go wrong, like I was trained, a normal labor and birth is a retrospective diagnosis, which means they're all a disaster until proven otherwise. And so the mindset, the emergency mindset, and then the media. How many movies have you seen? Now, they've changed this, which is exciting to me. I watched a couple of sitcoms where they had, what was the last one? Grace and Frankie, where they actually had some home births. And I thought, that's amazing. They've changed that. I remember the show ER, where the women are always coming in labor into the emergency room and, the mother dies or the whatever. It's just horrendous. So our media has made it seem like this is the worst thing that can ever happen. Yes,
so do you think it would be advisable for ladies who have this kind of deep fear or uncertainty about having a baby with a midwife maybe at home, and they can't seem to get over it for the moment, they'd be safer to go to a hospital? Is that what I want to hear you saying? They could create issues?
Well, fear creates issues.
Right.
Yeah. Fear creates an outpouring of cortisol and epinephrine in the body. Mm-hmm. It results in vasoconstriction. So therefore, the blood does not go into the internal organs. It's shunted out to the extremities, the legs, the arms. The fear and the cortisol is a very ancient response that says there's danger, run away. And after like a 15-minute brisk walk or a 15-minute run, then you've actually metabolized those stress hormones and you go back to parasympathetic rest and restore. Now, what do we have in our lives these days? If you watch the mainstream media, it's you keep looking to see how bad it is, and all the mainstream media tells you is how bad it is. And so we live now in a constant state of fight, flight, or freeze, because that's what the mainstream media sells. And then they make you feel, stressed and terrible. And the mainstream media is most big pharma. So they're selling you some drug solution to a problem that you don't really even have if you were living close to the earth and living more in tune with the sun and with the moon and with nature.
So do I hear excuse me. Do I hear you saying then, I don't want to put words in your mouth, that this whole fear thing with the corona has a lot to do with people showing symptoms of whatever this stuff is?
Well, let me just tell you this. Any time that people are in a panic, the immune system plummets because you're in. Now, initially, let's say that there's real danger and you run away from something. Your immune system is enhanced by that. Mm-hmm. However, that's 15 minutes. We're talking about constant fear.
Sure.
So when you read the accounts, which I have and you probably have, mm-hmm. of the nurses at Ground Zero in New York City telling you what they've actually seen, there are many, many people terrified to go into the hospital. And then now what are we told? Okay, in labor and delivery now, there are hospitals where women are told you cannot have a support person with you in labor because of COVID. So you can't have your husband or your best friend come in. And then the baby is going to be separated from you. So all of the things that I fought for 20, 30 years, I watch being dismantled before my very eyes, because it's all driven by fear. When you really look at the statistics, about 99% of people recover from COVID or whatever it is, and less than 1% actually die. And those who do had underlying conditions, by and large. And yes, there are exceptions. And what you find is that the fear is kind of addictive. I have a friend, and she said, I know it's bad for me, but I have to keep tuning in to CNN. It's like an addiction.
Yes,
know, you get addicted to this adrenaline rush, and you keep thinking that they're going to tell you something to keep you safe. I listened to Lee Carroll, this wonderful spiritual teacher, and he said, the media is functioning here as a very bad parent. So let's say that you've got a little kid, a three-year-old, and they wake up in the middle of the night, Mommy, Daddy, there's a monster in my room. You go in, you turn the light on, you say, sweetheart, as you can see, there's nothing here. And then you comfort them, and then they get back to bed, or, you know, they might come into bed with you. But what if you had a parent who, when the kid got scared like that, you went into their room and you said, oh my God, there is a monster in your closet, or there could be, we just never know. And then the child has nowhere to go. There's no source of comfort for that child. Well, that's what the mainstream media does. It's acting as a bad parent. It's really bad. It's really bad. There's going to be a second wave. You can't ever leave your house. I mean, I know people right even now who will not leave their homes. Yes. I just heard of somebody who canceled her newspaper because she felt she needed to leave it 3 days mailbox before it was safe to touch. Now, this is insanity. Yeah.
So as an MD through medical school, is it surprising to you that the information from WHO, CDC, and the AMA is so potentially just upside down?
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
What happened.
Are you surprised at that?
What happened is everyone should be surprised at that. Now, up until about 1986, you had some ability to trust maybe what the WHO did and the CDC. But then Congress under Reagan, I believe,
yes,
gave vaccine companies complete immunity from all liability. Mm-hmm. And at that point, the CDC became a vaccine company. It owns over 50 patents for different vaccines. And then the CDC recommended schedule for vaccines tripled after 1986. Now you see all these states, including my state of Maine, New York State, California, making 69 different vaccines mandatory to get into nursery school, to get into college, mandatory, so that there's no longer any ability to do what is sane, which is delay the schedule, individualize the schedule, see how your child does with one shot before giving more. Now, 99% of all infants in the United States get a hepatitis B shot on the first day of life. Their immune systems aren't even developed yet. And then they get, I don't know, sometimes 6 shots at once at the age of 6 months. This has never, ever, ever been tested for safety. And there's another thing that's happening, which I don't even know what to say. And that is they are now giving pregnant women, conventional doctors, a flu shot and a DPT in pregnancy.
Yes.
And we know that the polysorbate 80 in the vaccine crosses the blood-brain barrier. So what are we doing?
I'm curious, though, why you would even support, Dr. Northrup, one or two are, you know, spread out and a more conservative approach to vaccines, if not one of them, in my understanding, I could be wrong, have never been proven through the CDC's standards safe or effective. Why would you approve any or support any vaccine?
I personally wouldn't, and I didn't.
Okay. So all right. All right. Kids, I just want to be clear.
My own kids are not vaccinated. But here's the thing. There are ways that you could make a vaccine much safer, mm-hmm. you see. Mm-hmm. There are ways that you could do that. If you listen to Dr. Judy Mikovits,
sure.
She said there are ways you could do it, but it would be very cheap. And, you know, we can't have that. I mean, when you look at the whole thing with hydroxychloroquine, $10 would give you a very good course of hydroxychloroquine. And if you got it in the early days, in the early times of being exposed to whatever this thing is, then the cure rates are phenomenal. Well, suddenly that became a hot potato. That was the weirdest thing that I have ever seen. You have a drug, we know there are off-label uses, it's been out there for over 50 years, it's generic, it's cheap. And suddenly, I just learned that one of the original studies that was trying to make sure that no one took it used the wrong stuff. They didn't use hydroxychloroquine, they used something else. Whenever you are not even allowed to question something, you know there's a problem. And, you know, when the CDC and the WHO, which frankly are, you know, their entire agenda is vaccines. They've killed thousands of children in Africa. The only cases of polio that we now have are from the vaccine itself. That's been well documented. And what we need to do is shift the conversation to how do we enhance immunity? How do we make ourselves resilient? Because, you know, God didn't make a mistake with this body. The human race wouldn't be here if that were the case. So what I focus on is telling people, all right, in this time, whether you believe it or not, everyone could use enhanced immunity. So vitamin D, my friend calls that the divine vitamin. It comes from the sun, which is the source of all life, and that needs to be at high enough doses. The vast majority of people have suboptimal levels of vitamin D. It should be 40 to 80 nanograms per milliliter. When a doctor says your result is normal, you don't ever go with normal. You go, I want ideal, so tell me my level.
Give me the upgrade, right?
Yeah, and it takes 5,000 international units of vitamin D daily to maintain an optimal level.
5,000.
Most people, wow, 5,000. Mm-hmm. Most people need to take 10,000 IU a day to get their level up to optimal. I'm very a big fan of grassrootshealth.net,
grassroots,
which is a wonderful website for learning everything about vitamin D. And we know that those people who have been the sickest with COVID, who have that cytokine storm, are the ones with the lowest levels of vitamin D. Then there's vitamin C, and tons of that stuff was sent to China. Linus Pauling, who won 2 Nobel Prizes, did enormous research on vitamin C, and that can help. It's one of the most potent antivirals known to humanity. But anytime you're under stress, your vitamin C level plummets. If you smoke one cigarette, your vitamin C will go to just about zero, because vitamin C is an antioxidant that we cannot make in our own body, so we need to bring it in. And then there's zinc, which is a very potent antiviral. So what I tell people, make sure you're getting C, D, and zinc. And, you know, and then you don't need to be so afraid. And then there's the mask situation. And again, Dr. Rashid Buttar talks about wearing a mask and rebreathing through a contaminated mask is one of the worst things you can possibly do. But if you bring that up in some crowds, you're the Antichrist.
That's right. Yeah, these people walk away from me. Dr. Christian Northrup is with us. She's an MD, and her website is stay away, drnorthrup.com. Stay right there, Doc. We're going to take a quick little break and have a little profit center here so we promote a few products. And if you care to ask a question, we have a few emails already. It's patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Here's a good one for our immunity. A while back, we spoke with Dr. Anthony Kleinsmith, who formulates the colostrum for survival. Dr. K, colostrum has anti-aging properties?
Oh, absolutely. It has the entire what they call IGF-1 superfamily. We've all heard of the HGH. That's just two, and they're synthetic. Well, we have the whole superfamily, and it's all natural.
Right in colostrum, and it comes from moo cows.
It comes from moo cows. I mean, think about it. That IGF-1 and the IGF-2 and all the other growth factors are naturally occurring to jumpstart that baby, that newborn calf's lifespan and immune system and growth patterns. And moo cows make their colostrum 6 to 8 weeks prior to birth, and it's about 1,000 times more potent in all of its immune factors and anti-aging factors than what any human mother can produce.
It is a great time to buy colostrum for the first time or to get some more if you're a regular user. Here's a promo code to use, WE initial R immune. Use this and get 20% off on all colostrum products. Click and order through OneRadioNetwork.com. The big sale going on now through the 3rd of July. Previously on our show, we talked to the now legendary Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt, and he mentioned sulfur. He's a fan.
The conditions in our world and our environment are changing so dramatically that people need to have a whole host of self-help tools and methods. Mm-hmm. And I'm very thrilled about your version of MSM. It's a right way to go. You know, sulfur is part of most of the detox enzymes and the critical part that is right now we have a much, much higher need of healthy sulfur than we had even 10 years ago. And so I followed your work a little bit, you know, that you're on the right track with what you are promoting.
Well, Dr. Klinghardt, we've heard from thousands of people over the year how they really love this product. You can click and order our Pure Sulfur, three prices, United States, Canada, and worldwide right here, or email me, Patrick, at OneRadioNetwork.com for a discount for more than £4. And we got a little sale going on right now, 20%, a very rare sale. We've been promoting this product for, 6 years now, and we know with listening to Dr. Seneff, a MIT lady in the glyphos, that it messes up the sulfur cycle. So check it out. I think you'll like it. It's a nice opportunity to get some sulfur into your body. And this is pure. There's nothing else going on, just 100%. It's just sulfur. And I think you'll like it. People remember more of their dreams. They get a little detoxification thing going on with the liver and then the glutathione. And then also hair, skin, and nails likes it a lot. You'll actually see your nails grow faster in your hair. And it's pretty amazing. So check it out. 20% sale right now on OneRadioNetwork.com. If I would press the right button here, we'd probably would be able to continue.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.
Our website is drnorthrup.com, Christian Northrup, and Patrick Timpone, Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Do you find it curious? Have you looked into the idea that this masking you talked about, shelter in place, social distancing, and all these things are really medical experiments, and none of them have, in your opinion, have they been ever proven effective?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Huh. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. I think you're pretty clear on that one.
I have a quote here from Dr. Judy Wileyman in Australia, and she says, "The removal of people's autonomy over their health based on manipulated statistics of deaths that were mostly diagnosed on clinical symptoms, this is fraud and the removal of human rights perpetrated by the medical industrial complex. It's criminal."
Really? Yes, we've had people on the show that are suggesting that this could be an out for a lot of people if they want to force mandate and just say, you can't force me to take part in a medical experiment. What do you think about
that? That's right. Yeah, I heard that the butterfly, that lawyer on YouTube loved it. Yeah. Loved it. I thought that this thing will be won in the courts because it flies in the face of the Geneva Convention or the Nuremberg trials. I mean, come on. After World War II, they said we're not going to, we won't allow experimentation on humans anymore. However, we know from Project Paperclip that a lot of those Nazis came right over to the United States, infiltrated society, I know I sound like
you are such a tinfoil hatter girl. I tell you what,
I am. I've got my tinfoil hat on right now. You know, someone I had a great response. Someone said they said this. You know, when they were asked, why aren't you wearing a mask? And the guy says, I don't believe in conspiracy theories.
That's great. Dr. Northrup is talking about David Martin. He's been on the show twice, and you can look in our archives and listen.
Oh,
yeah, he's
good.
Quite an
Thank
interesting
you.
Legal beagle guy. He's pretty cool. He's on to something, you know. He's on to something. Hey, I wanted to ask you, let me go back to the ladies thing for a minute and birthing babies and all that. What do you think the biggest thing that you have learned over the last, how long you've been doing this, 35 years or so?
Yeah.
OBGYN? Yeah. What you thought then about babies and births and OB stuff that's really changed over those years?
Well,
for you,
what has changed is that I have seen the ideas that I had back in the 80s finally being implemented to a great degree. So, for instance, the first time I ever took a baby from the mother, she delivered into my hands, and I put the baby on her abdomen with the cord still pulsing.
Oh.
My attending physician nearly had a heart attack, and he said,
"You can't do that."
She touched your gloves, so you're no longer sterile. I looked at him. I said, "Dr. McGovern, this baby just came out of the vagina. The only way to sterilize it is to boil it." And he, you know, because sometimes you have the snappy answer right when you need it, not a year later. And, you know, he could not refute that. And then I began to do research on the umbilical cord, because back then, you know, it was like clamp the cord as soon as the baby comes out, you know, wrap the baby up, send it to the nursery, bathe it, put it in the isolette to warm it up. You know, it's like birth was done like a frickin' emergency, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd never take puppies away from their mother and take them to an isolette and wash them. No. Anyway, so what's happened now?
It's hilarious when you say it, you know. It's just,
right? When you think of it, you know, like there's a great play called Birth, and it starts with, I want what my dog got.
That's great.
Right?
Anyway,
all those things that were considered so radical that I would just be, I'd observe it. You know, back then when I was in medical school, if anyone was in labor, you had to bring her down to the delivery room. You had to prep her and drape her like it was a surgical procedure, you know, putting all these drapes on her and getting it right and all of that. And then, you know, you'd have the birth canal is the operative site, and you shave her an enema and give her beta, you know, all of this stuff. That's all just finally gone away, which is great. And now we have, in many, many places, the baby never leaves the mother. You give birth, you can have the baby on your abdomen, there's delayed cord clamping, because you've got to always think about what did nature have in mind? All right, the baby comes out. If the cord's not around the neck, if everything's safe, you put the baby on the mother's abdomen, you allow the umbilical cord to stop pulsating on its own. Why? Because that's oxygenating the baby while its heart and lungs are going through the most profound changes of a lifetime. And so instead of it being an emergency, bam, now breathe, right? So, you know, an instant panic. You want to do, you know, when I was delivering babies, we had Dr. Laboye in France talking about these gentle births with dim lights and making it a beautiful entry into life instead of a panic situation, you know, that sets up breathing problems and panic for the rest of your life. And let's not even get into circumcision. I had a colleague who would do a circumcision in the delivery room to get it over with. I mean, with no anesthesia, just cut off the most sensitive part of a male body with no anesthesia on the first day of life.
In medical school, did they teach you that circumcision was like the way to go when you went?
Oh, yeah.
When I was
OBGYN resident, I had to do them. So I have, you know, I consider my ministry of intact males, that's a ministry of atonement for all of the circumcisions that I had to do, because I could never talk anyone out of it.
Really?
I would give them the data, and, you know, you would see that same, okay, you see the same thing as when you say to someone, you probably don't need a mask unless you yourself are coughing, and you probably don't need to wait around for a vaccine, and maybe you can touch your newspaper the day it comes in. But if someone is caught in fear, or we could say if they're caught in the matrix,
yeah.
then they're not going to hear you. And I've realized it's not my job to wake up people who are deeply asleep, because when the alarm goes off, it's very jarring and they hate it. And then they would blame me. So I just do what I do. And people wake up when they want to. I have a little thing I do on Facebook every day called The Great Awakening. And I just bring people information, mm-hmm. and I keep it humorous, you know, because you've got to keep it humorous. Otherwise, they'll kill you. And, you know, I've had many, many scrapes with medical authorities. But as long as I could keep everyone laughing in the room, things were, you know, things are generally been okay. But it's been a very... cutting edge kind
yes,
of situation.
Dr. Northup, what do you think is going on spiritually or culturally that folks are having a hard time with people who don't believe what they believe? I mean, do you see there's a lot of this going on right now where people will actually defriend you if you don't believe in, you know, COVID as it's being said on the media?
That's the most amazing
Isn't
thing.
It?
It's like a,
yeah.
it's sorting the wheat from the chaff, as it were.
Mm.
I have a friend who has been coming to my home to do therapeutic massage for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
She will no longer come. And this is a holistic person.
Because?
Because she is afraid that she could give something to her elderly clients.
Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense once you understand immunity. Many of my friends have changed their profile pictures to them masked, showing solidarity. And they really are in a matrix. They're in a matrix because they haven't awakened. What does it take to awaken? You know, how did the state of Maine pass a vaccine mandate bill when we had already a 95% voluntary vaccination rate? We had no fear whatsoever, no possibility of the dread diseases of childhood, like measles, by the way, which confers immunity against later cancers and is a very mild disease in the vast majority of cases. And if it isn't, you give vitamin A and you're okay. Okay, how do you convince people that you should inject 69 different toxins into the body? And we now have, you know, 54% of all children have a chronic disease. To me, that's the cognitive dissonance. I don't understand how people can be there given the data. But what I do know is if you've been told, this is what you do to keep safe, we give you a vaccine, many, many people right now are going to stay at home until there's a vaccine, until Bill Gates tells them it's okay to come outside. Now, that's someone who's deep in a program. That is a mind program. And the only way to wake up is cognitive dissonance, which feels terrible. I mean, what if you suddenly learn, wait a minute, what my doctor's been telling me, what the CDC, what all these trusted sources have been telling me is wrong? I mean, then we're going to need, by the way, Colorado apparently has proposed a bill to put parents in re-education centers if they don't want to vaccinate their kids.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I just heard this. It makes, none of this makes sense to me. None of it. So to me, you just have to be patient. You need to send love.
Mm-hmm.
Many of my community members say at first when you started, Hay House, my publisher of my books, actually got letters from people saying, has her account been hacked? she's putting all this stuff online that, you know, doesn't go along with the WHO and the CDC. Has her account been hacked? No, the muzzle has been taken off my face. That's the only thing that has changed. I've always been like this. But I had to go along enough to work within the hospital, to work within my medical group, so that we could all get along. What's happening now is the light is getting lighter, the dark is getting darker, and people can no longer stay with one foot on the dock and one foot in the boat. You've got to make a decision one way or another. And I believe that more and more people are waking up every day. How do you not see, for instance, that it's okay to go and protest and you don't have to social distance or wear a mask? But you can't go into Walmart without a mask. You can't go to a funeral. You can't go visit your beloved one in a nursing home. But you can go protest.
I understand. Yeah, it's just not even logical. You're writing about on your website and about this great awakening. So are you saying you're feeling that there's a lot of souls are going to wake up through all of this? This is part of the deal?
Yes, it is part of the deal. Now, we are in the Pluto return. Let me go really macro on you here.
All right. Okay. Let's get out there.
We're in the Pluto return of the United States. All right. Now, Pluto is the great awakener, but it brings everything up that's under the surface, right? Uh-huh. So what do we see? We see protesters tearing down monuments to white men, many of whom had a rather checkered past. We know that 41 of the 52, I think, signers of the Declaration of Independence were white men who owned slaves. We also know that the whole concept of race was invented, and I don't know the name of the guy and the date, but it was invented to justify the slave trade. There's actually no such thing as race. Racism is absolutely real. So what we're doing here, and it started really in a big way with the Me Too movement, and then, you know, Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein in 2017, all these things under the surface that have been going on for decades, right? The pedophilia, the things of this nature, the sexual abuse of women in Hollywood and children in Hollywood. This has been going on for a long time. It's coming to the surface. So the crimes of the past are now coming up to be righted. And that's the Great Awakening, where we can no longer ignore the disparities, right, between the one-half, one-tenth of 1% and everyone else. I mean, how did it happen that an average person now has to work three jobs to make ends meet? You know, the Federal Reserve, all of this stuff where, what, five families just print money? The Federal Reserve is not a federal agency. It's a private bank. So these are the sorts of things that are coming to light.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
And the medical industrial complex, where it's all run by the pharmaceutical industry. All the mainstream media is funded by the pharmaceutical industry. And that started in 1920 when John D. Rockefeller and Standard Oil actually closed all the homeopathic and naturopathic medical schools, invented the word quack. So anyone like me who recommends vitamin C or D is called a quack.
Dr. Christine Northworth is with us, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. So what are some techniques that you use you can share with our listeners around the world to be able to see the matrix and hear about these kinds of things, whether it be the Federal Reserve we talk about or vaccines, how do you do it without getting sick?
Okay, so what I would do is, for instance, I'm a member of a group called MAM, Millions Against Medical Mandates. So we are for informed consent. So that's MAMM.org. A lot of great information there. RFK Jr.'s group, the Children's Health Defense Fund.org. And of course, RFK Jr. has been a champion of clean water and children's rights and medical freedom and informed consent. There's also the National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org. There's many, many highly credible sources. Now, for the spiritual stuff, I love Ralph Smart's YouTube channel. He's a black man in the UK who talks a lot about it's over, like this, the Matrix is falling apart. He said, Babylon is falling. People are waking up. So he's fun to watch. I watch Magenta Pixie, who is, she talks to the white-winged Federation of the Nine, whoever they are. And, you know, so she does this channeled thing that's fascinating. Elizabeth April. These are some far-out channels. I like to have both things going on because I believe that we really are at a time. Oh, by the way, for all your listeners, I learned this from Magenta Pixie. I thought it was fascinating. She said, Star Trek is the truth. It was just given to the author, but it's really what's going on.
but wow. how do you see all these things? So many people that we talk to and get emails from, they're very troubled by what's going on in the world, but you figured out a way to know about these things without making you sick. How do you do that?
Right. Oh, well, I do it because I've always been a black sheep, you know, so so therefore I'm kind of used to being told that my ideas are far out, but now I have more company than I've ever had before. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like this. Okay, I was 12. I was babysitting for a family, and I saw this box in the mail. It was a book, and it said on it, Natives of Eternity. Now, I was the quintessential good girl, straight A student, valedictorian. I opened their mail. I was obsessed. I had to see this book. And it talked about, it was by Flower Newhouse, a Christian mystic in California. And she could talk to angels and nature spirits and fairies and the water sprites and all that. I was so excited. I oh my God, life is like I thought it was. And the angels of birth and death, and it was amazing. And I went home and I told my mother, and she made sure she got me the book. And then I began to meet with a woman named Gretchen Carroll, and we would have these talks about how life was far more exciting and expansive than you could ever imagine, and that there were angels that could help us. And I began to realize that the world is not what we've been told, and there are unseen forces that are there to help us. And I have a profound belief in God, the creator, not necessarily religion, although religion is a wonderful thing to bring people together, like-minded people, to pray. I work with Julie Ryan, a medical intuitive. She said that when people are praying for someone who's in the operating room, she sees like this iridescent stuff. She said there's, when a lot of people are praying, it's like the room is filled with this substance that she calls grace. So I believe that what we have to do now is we need to get out of our three-dimensional world and get into a five-dimensional world, which is run by love, not greed, run by abundance, not scarcity that has been made up, scarcity. And I believe that's where we're headed. And if you look at the spiritual texts of all times, they talk about the revelation, they talk about the apocalypse. Apocalypse just means the lifting of the veil. And I believe we all came now to be here for this great ascension situation, where heaven on earth, I would call it. And so all the darkness that's been there forever is coming up to the surface. So where, you know, it's very hard to miss it.
Do you believe then we've all of us here this morning together have chosen to be here at this time?
Yes. Yes. But it's not, you don't choose it consciously. I mean, you don't know. You begin to see the synchronicities. So I'm going to give you a perfect example of this. So I, my daughters talked to me about this wonderful thing called Share the Mic on Instagram, where you reach out to a woman of color or a man, whatever, and you give them access to your account so that they can expand their platform. It's like brings us together. It doesn't create a race war. It's exactly the opposite. And I thought this was a great idea. Well, it happened to be on the birthday of my beloved who had recently died. And so I wanted to do a post on Facebook about him because we've never gone public with the relationship, da 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 da. So I reach out to this black nurse leader, Courtney, because I loved her stuff, very spiritual, all of that. And of course, I couldn't figure out the text. So the two of us talked together, and then I brought her to the attention of my my people. She does a lot with CBD. And but then it turns out that she is a medium. So my guy, Ron, the next morning, he's talking to her, and she texts me the entire conversation, and I know it's him. And it was the most uplifting thing. It helped me absolutely get over the grief. Hey, I'm here. I'm fine. All of us who have died are fine. We want you to know that we're good. And your grief makes us stay here longer as because we're worried about you. We're fine. We want you to be fine, too. And I get this message from Courtney, who I never even knew. This is a black nurse in Omaha. That was orchestrated by God. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, that's what you're talking. That's what you're talking about. Can we take a few emails here?
Yes, I'd love it.
Here's fun. Let's see. Hi, doctor. What can be expected for a woman in her 60s who had a total hysterectomy in her 40s? Are things like bioidentical hormones a necessity to live a long life?
Absolutely not. In fact, I started a company called Amata Life, A-M-A-T, Life, L-I-F-E.com. And I made this hormone replacement supplement with an herb called Pereria mirifica from Thailand.
Wow.
And it is... It's the most powerful phytoestrogen on the planet. It's been called Pereria mirifica, meaning miracle herb. And I was so enthralled with it that I created a vaginal moisturizer, which totally re-estrogenizes the vaginal canal. And many, many women who take it can sleep better. It does all the stuff of estrogen, but without the growth hormone, so there's no danger of breast growths or uterine growths or anything like that. So, you know, some people do great on bioidentical hormones, mm-hmm. but this is, you know, non-prescription. And there's another stuff called MACA, and my friend Anna Kabeka has a whole program with that. She's a gynecologist. So there are other things. My book, The Wisdom of Menopause, talks about this, but the revised edition of Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom mm-hmm. has a whole section on this. So
you feel it's a safer or more effective way than the yams and all of that?
Yes, okay. Yes. Now, the body can't make the biochemical changes to take a yam cream and actually make it into progesterone. But the progesterone cream like Amrita, that can be very effective as well. So there's all these different things you can do other than a prescription hormone, because those tend to be very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Here's one for you from Amy. What are natural ways to bring healing to fibroids that you can suggest? Also, PCOS, if you can also address this.
Yeah, they're very connected, and that has to do with insulin. So you want to get your insulin levels down, and the way you do that is you follow a low glycemic diet. And that would be anything like one of the easiest ones to follow is David Ludwig's Always Hungry. David is an endocrinologist and pediatrician at Boston Children's Hospital. He has researched how you get your insulin levels down. And his book and cookbook is called Always Hungry. That's very helpful. There's also the Bulletproof Diet that works for many women. All of these work to get insulin levels down so that you aren't making estrogen into a growth hormone. Many women with PCOS can get over that. Fibroids often shrink at menopause. I had a huge one, all right? And they're related to creativity that hasn't been birthed yet. And I finally had surgery because I got sick of dressing around it. I did all these acupuncture appointments and all of that stuff. That story is all in Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom. But there's a lot that you can do besides surgery or a uterine artery embolization, and radiologists are doing that. That can work very, very well, and then the fibroid just shrinks on its own. There's a lot of treatments. But remember, fibroids are related to pushing your creative energy into a dead-end job or a dead-end relationship.
Yeah, that's...
Because the womb is the center for creativity.
So you write a lot about this whole idea of the mind, body, soul, all connection. And so if we believe that it's all a spiritual, mental, emotional thing at the top of the ladder, have you learned ways to help women that you work with to see this without saying things like, well, it's all in your head, like they used to say?
Oh, yes.
Remember?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's all in your head. Yeah.
All in your head. Yeah. Here's what I was told. Oh, you see all the nutcases. I only see normal women. That's what the guys in my office would say.
Wow.
Like, really? Because I'm noticing the same women all over the world.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What you can do is you need to understand you did not cause this. You did not create it. However, it is your job to be responsible to it because you chose a certain spiritual path. And this and your body is telling you how you're doing. So anytime you have a symptom, whatever it is, you want to approach it as a loving parent, because it is the wounded little child in you that is driving your endocrine, immune, and central nervous system. So I want to give you an example. So when I wrote Mother-Daughter Wisdom, the first thing I did was I sat down and I just let it out about everything that I didn't like about my mother. Not because I was going to put it in the book, but because I wanted to get a big load of stuff out on paper. Well, then following that, I began to get cloudiness in my left cornea under my contact lens. And by the time I sought medical attention, I was going blind in my left eye. That's the right hemisphere. That's the part of us that's connected to the body. There were things I didn't want to see about my childhood. I went down to Mass Eye and Ear. I had a corneal biopsy. I did everything they told me, and I was getting worse by the day. And finally, I got down on my knees, and I prayed, and I thought, oh, vitamin C, S-E-E. And I began to take massive doses orally, you know, like I have a cast iron stomach, 10,000, 50,000 units a day. And when I did that, the next day I woke up and the cornea was clear. And I had realized that there was stuff about my childhood that I hadn't wanted to see. I got menstrual cramps, terrible, when I got my period, had to be taken out of school, you know, all kinds of things. But that was nobody's fault. That was my spiritual journey. So you need to take this approach of being a loving parent to the unhealed little child in you. And when you do that, then you've really got the keys to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen connection between worry, angst, and such, and stress with the classic kind of lumps in the breast in women?
I'll tell you what I see with with the breast thing. It is, okay, think about breasts. They are symbolic of giving and receiving. That's where we nurse our children, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so very, very often, a woman who gets a breast problem like breast cancer is over-giving in order to be loved. It's a classic pattern.
Overgiving in order to be loved.
Overgiving because she doesn't feel lovable. So I'm going to give you an example. I had a patient come in with breast cancer, metastatic. I mean, she was she had tumors all over her lung fields. And she came in alone. And I said, okay, well, you know, have you told your family? She said, I don't want to bother them. Okay.
Yeah.
So these are wonderful people who don't want to make waves because they have learned somewhere along the line that they don't matter, that their needs aren't important. The needs of everyone else are important. And so it's extraordinarily important for women in particular to learn how to ask for what we need. And it makes us feel so vulnerable when you ask for what you need, because, you know, chances are good that in childhood, when you asked for what you needed, you got shamed for it. Yeah.
Asking for what you need. So
what you need.
So girls, ladies kind of grow up believing that they're not going to get a good answer to that or a good response.
Yes, you grew up believing that you're not lovable. Okay, if you're a woman, you're not lovable unless you're thin enough, young enough, have long enough legs, have big Instagram following. Hmm. I mean, you grow up learning these lies about yourself. I mean, one of the things that I love currently, by the way, because I'm such an anarchist in a way.
Yes, you
really,
are. Yes, you are.
I think I am, is the breakdown of the public school system. Hmm. Good. It needs to break down. I mean, they say the wounds of the eighth grade have the half-life of uranium. I mean, you know, it's crazy. And
that's
I'm thrilled that my granddaughters won't have to go to eighth grade in a conventional public school because they are indoctrination central. So, you know, I see more and more people, my friends in the Bronx, homeschooling their kids. Hmm. You know, we need to go back to real values. Let's learn how to sew. Let's learn how to garden. Let's learn how to cook. I mean, my God, instead of let's become a cog in the wheel of someone else's profit center.
Lori writes in, is it possible to have a birth in a hospital and not do any of the vaccinations that they want to give?
Absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely. But you have to tell them. You have to tell them absolutely no Hep B vaccine. You can also do the same thing with the vitamin K. Oh. But you've got to bring it up beforehand so that you won't get some do-gooder reporting you. I mean, just like, you know, we had a restaurant owner a little bit near here, and he opened his place before the governor said, okay, all the tables were 6 feet apart, perfect sterile technique, and some snitch reported him. So, of course, then, you know, the state took away his license. Where we are now is, you know, I've been told don't say it, but it's just the truth. All these snitches, that's how Hitler got away with it. People reporting on their neighbors. Oh, my God, they're not wearing a mask. This is terrible. It's terrible because you don't know who's going to report you. That's how you control everybody.
Here's an email from Denise. Just one line. Wow. I'm a prisoner in this nursing home here. My God.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, boy.
Yes. And I have a friend who works in nursing homes, and she said the people are dying of broken hearts. They're dying of grief.
Yes.
Because they're told no one can come to see them. This is so wrong. Dr. Zach Bush talks about at the moment of birth, at the moment of death, that's when we need humanity around us.
There are some states, I know one in Pennsylvania is one, where they're beginning to mandate that all nursing home attendants get tested, and who knows what that result will mean.
Well,
and we know the results
problem with the test.
Yeah, I know. We know the results are right. The results are bogus anyway. It's wow.
Yeah, they're completely bogus. This is crazy. See, this is the matrix. This is the matrix that people are caught up in. That you have civil rights, except if there's a virus. You have civil rights if you go and protest in a certain way, but you can't go to the beach without a mask on. If you can't see the insanity of this, you're still asleep.
Coffee works. Just kidding.
Okay. That's very good.
Good morning, Dr. Northrup. Thank you for your daily Facebook chats. They exemplify so much for me. I also know that Patrick is a member of the tribe, too. Onward towards the light from Shanti. Oh.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Isn't that
nice? I love it. So, see how it all works out?
Yeah.
It all works out.
So you get all feisty on your Facebook page, eh?
I do. Do this little message daily. And I just started to do it because I felt called to help people through this time, kind of like attending a birth, you know? Like, okay, you just need someone standing by who's telling you it's going to be all right. And what's happened is we now have this whole group. We call ourselves the Warriors of the Radical Light.
That's great. You're such a radical man. So can we say then that this uncomfortable and kind of stuff we're going through as a culture and our listeners, this is part of the maybe the birthing process of this waking up thing?
That is exactly right. It's a giant birth canal. Absolutely. And so what you need, we're at like 9 centimeters. It's just before you're fully dilated and it's time to push. And so many women at that stage, they'll say, I'm not doing this. I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
I don't want to do this. No way.
That's right. I'm done. Get out of here. I'm done. But you're stuck. Where else are you going to go? You know, I remember that myself being there thinking, oh my God, this is like, I'm stuck.
Have you had children?
Two. I have two daughters.
Does it like really hurt a lot?
I was, let me tell you, Patrick, I was stunned. I was stunned. Yeah. I'd watched women. There are those women who have ecstatic births, they have orgasmic births, they think, oh, it was just like some bad indigestion. So I figured I'd be one of those. Not really.
Did you do it drug-free?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Oh, God, yes, absolutely. Never took a single drug and left the hospital the day I gave birth because I call hospital nurseries back then concentration camps for babies. I didn't want, I just wanted to be with my child. I mean, you're not supposed to be separated from your baby when they're just born. Your body is the external placenta. Mm. They need you.
Is there any special things you advise moms to do when they had to do or they chose to do a C-section?
Yes, with a C-section, okay, you need to remember that the bonding process goes on for one's entire life. Mm-hmm. So if you need a C-section, you can heal that. There are all kinds of ways to go back to the birthing field. Tammy Kent, what is she? Tammy Lynn Kent has a wonderful book on that called Wild Feminine. And one of my daughters had to have a C-section for an undiagnosed breech. And so it was a failed home delivery. And so she went through the whole process of healing it. And then she went on to have a normal delivery with the second child. So that really kind of healed the trauma. But there's all kinds of ways to heal that birth trauma, heal the birthing field.
Who's it traumatic to, mom or child, both?
Both.
Both.
Both. Huh. Yeah, both.
Well,
and the main thing is to understand that we all have birth trauma. And what's interesting is that the hospital where I worked and my daughter gave birth has an osteopath on call who does craniosacral on each of the newborns with the birth trauma. It's wonderful.
So there are a lot of hospitals that are getting very creative with even doing things in the water and all kinds of stuff.
That's right. There's the birthing tubs and so on. So we're getting there. We just have to remember that there's an old matrix that we're all leaving, and that matrix is run by fear and anger. And what I tell people is that the food of the dark forces is fear and anger. So don't feed them.
That's what they have for breakfast, right?
That's what they have for breakfast.
They're paleo, you know. They just eat fear.
That's right.
They just eat fear. Amanda writes in, please tell Dr. Northrup, thank you for representing and being so outrageously open. You give all of us that question, the medical norm credibility. Oh, see. Got a lot of fans, Doc.
That's great. Yeah, it's sort of, and God takes care of it because it's not like, I have this big marketing machine. At this point, it's just not.
Yeah, you've just been out there being you for the last 40 years and
That would be it. Yep. But more me now. And that's the beauty of getting older, is that you really don't, your give a damn's busted, right?
Can I quote you on that? Your give a damn is way busted, right?
Well, that's, that's a country western song. My give a damn.
I have never heard that one, but I like it.
Oh yeah, look it up because it's funny.
My give a damn is busted, but I tell you what. So folks, go to your website. Tell folks about what they'll see there and some of the things that they can get involved with your ongoing life.
Okay, so drnorthrup.com is the website. I have an entire online women's health course coming out. It's sort of like the owner's manual course. If you're in a female body, this is the information you need. So this has many different modules. It's like a lifetime's worth of work. That's launching very, very soon, I think like the 17th. Mm-hmm. And also the latest edition of Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom is now out. I have The Wisdom of Menopause, one of my favorite books, Goddesses Never Age. I also put that on Audible. That's me talking to you. And one that's particularly good for these times, Dodging Energy Vampires, an empath guide to evading relationships that drain you and restoring your health and power. And quite frankly, I believe that the mainstream now is the energy vampire. And each of us, when we stand in our light and we stand in our sovereignty and we say we do not consent, then we are divinely protected because we have far more power than we've ever been told we have.
Have you gained insights over the years to help ladies to find just the right guy in their life? That's what they're looking for?
I have. I have.
I bet you do.
Because I finally found just the right guy, but I think that our contract was supposed to be really intense and really short. So we were together 2 years and then he died recently. And but what he told me from the other side, so this is Ron telling women everywhere, do not sell yourself short. Men have to be trained out of their brutality. Ask them to step up. You must ask them because they won't do it otherwise. You must cherish yourself. You're sitting on a throne of gold and do not put up with any crap. So this is the old, you're not giving it away for free. And that might mean cooking. It might mean anything. You have to really honor yourself. And boy, did Ron ever teach me some lessons around that one.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Do you think, the whole women's lib thing and the nurturing, that deep down though, ladies come in who incarnate in a female body really want to nurture and take care and help and the family, and that really is fulfilling for them?
There are so many like that. And you know what? It doesn't even matter if they have a family or not. Some of my most nurturing friends foster kittens, right? Make gardens or do wonderful things with food. It is the feminine. It's the feminine that is going to lead the way into this new earth. And it is women understanding our power to hold men accountable, And we have fought within ourselves over men and fought with each other. That's another program. That program needs to go away. Women need to come together. We need to raise up the men in our lives. Now, let me give you the physical on this. What turns on a man, a turned on woman? How does it work in a man? He gets an erection. You literally know how to make this guy raise up. We need to use that.
Well, you know what to do, right? You know how to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, boy. I can't tell you how many women that I've been blessed to know in my life that you just know that I don't care what it is. They get it. And to listen to them, they just knew what the right answer was. I have women in my life today that, boy, when I'm questioning something, it's comfortable for me to say, what do you think? And boy, they're pretty about 99% dead on.
Well, you see, right about you is you're smart enough to listen. And what we do with, women, we doubt ourselves. Yeah. We think that usually a white male knows better than we do. And boy, have I ever learned that is dead wrong.
Good luck with that
wrong.
Good luck with that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You see where that's gotten us so far.
Where it's gotten the whole planet. You know, I mean, that's the program. I mean, I listened to this guy, Pharaoh, this black guy who's, you know, way out there. Hmm. And boy, does he ever lay it out. So anyone who wants to really go down the rabbit hole, go over to, I think
what's
it's
his
Young
last
Pharaoh.
Name? Pharaoh?
Yeah. YoungPharaoh.com. Yeah, he is unbelievable. Of course, you know, they deplatformed his YouTube. By the way, one more thing. If you want to know where the truth is, it's whatever they have censored on YouTube
that's
and
right.
Facebook.
And if you're not on Quack Watch, you ain't doing your job, right?
That's exactly right. That's right.
Did you make Quack Watch yet? I'm trying. You know, I'm trying to get there. And
yeah. Oh, no, I've been called a quack for so many years, you know, that when I hear that, it's like, oh, good. Someone finally got it.
I just can't
imagine.
Then
I ban them. I ban them from my page.
Well, Dr. Northrup, you're a pleasure to talk to. It's been an honor to have you here. Good work and Godspeed.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. May the blessings be. See you.
Thank you.
Dr. Christian Northrup. Wow, she's fun, huh? Check out our website, drnorthrup.com. Well, we're going to talk about the money thing tomorrow. We're going to talk about some presidents that it appears that there's five or six different presidents have been the boys, you know, the Rothies and the New World Order, and they've been trying to get out. They tried to get out of office. You'd be surprised at this fellow. He's on at 9 o'clock. And then Brandon Smith of altmarket.com, and he's got some real interesting things to say about President Trump and what he thinks is going on with him, and that he is just a pawn in this game when many people think he's trying to get rid of the swamp, and he doesn't think that's the truth. So we're going to have fun tomorrow, and we'll wax politically and financially tomorrow. It gets underway at 9 o'clock Central Time, live here on OneRadioNetwork.com. Thanks for passing these links on to everyone that you care about. I love you all very much, and I'll see you tomorrow at 9. May the blessings be.
We are listener-supported. One Radio Network.